environment that is healthy, clean, righteous, filled with power and energy, revelation and excitement. That's what our homes and peace. Don't want to lose that. That's what our homes should be. Because we have authority over the spirits. But I can't do that out there. I don't have authority to do it out there. Neither do you. You don't have the authority in your workplace to make that workplace righteous, peaceful, vibrant, healthy, clean. But you know what? You have the authority where you're standing. Because there stands a child of God, filled with the word of His grace, and under the umbrella of His grace and power. If you are working the word that He's giving you. Because I want to say this. When do you get hungry? When the fuel that you've been given is gone. Right? I can't remember too many times. Of course, it's only been since 1972. So, 32 years. I can't remember too many times in 32 years when I've been hungry. Did you hear me? I can't remember too many times in 32 years that I was going, please feed me. Do we have a scripture? If you drink from this well, what? It will be in you rivers of living water. Where is it? In you. Well, if it's a pleasant thing if you keep the words of wisdom, the word of God, within you. Anything that is really in you, and if it remains in you, see, that's the miraculous food of the Spirit. The miraculous food of the Spirit, the miraculous grace of Jesus Christ is, set your affection on Him, you'll never get hungry. Walk in the Spirit, He said it another way, and what? You won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Now, you know, most of us don't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. But they're swimming around in our mind a lot of the time during the day. We're not fulfilling it, but they're saying, you're hungry, aren't you hungry? You know you're hungry. You can have grace over that. All you have to do is make a decision. I'm not doing that. I'm not eating meat anymore. No. I'm not doing it. It's not part of my diet. It's not anything I'm going to think about. I'm not visualizing it. I refuse to dream about it. I haven't had one steak dream. Now, I know that there's a lot of experts here. And I've only been eating steak. I think my mom threw my first steak in my face when I was about 3. Eat this, kid. Whap. Probably wasn't 3, but I've been eating steak for a while. Can't think of anything I enjoy more. Nice, big, juicy steak with a nice glass of wine. See, I can do that because you know what? I'm not. It produces nothing in me to say that. The reason is because because I'm under grace. Now, how can I can frustrate the grace. I can start thinking, you know, wouldn't hurt to have one. I can go there. I have the ability to do that, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to walk in the integrity of the word that I spoke. And I want, and see, here's the difference. Here's the difference. I don't think for 1 minute that I can keep myself. See, I know how it works. I've been to town and I've seen the elephant. I know how it works. It works like this. Jesus, help thou me in my unbelief. It works like this. This is not good for me. I'm removing this from my diet, Lord. Please give me grace. And if he knows I'm sincere, look, if I'm not sincere, if I heard me talking and I said, yeah, I'll try that. See, this is our problem. We say, yeah, I'll try that. Do you know what that means? I said, you know, Brandon Way, red little guys, you say, I'll try, Daddy. I said, don't try, do. Don't try, do. And I said it time and time again. So then Star Wars come out. We take him to Star. I took him to Star Wars. This little green demon, you know, Yoda. They're sitting in a little hut there, little mud hut. And Luke says, yeah, I'll try. And Yoda says, don't try, do. My kids looked at me like, whoa. This is Dad's saying. And they used it in the movie. But they never forgot it. No joke, right? Yeah. Don't try, do. Now, you know, I know that without the grace of Jesus on my life and on my words, that it's up to me and there's no help. But I know that when I set my affection and I set my will, I know that he will grace me. Paul knew that too, because he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you understand that now? From, you see, I don't frustrate it. I don't allow myself to sit there and go, well, geez, I sure miss having that stick, right? I just wish, you know, well, I just want to, I just, you know, life's tough. I don't do that. I don't frustrate it. And I have before. See, I know what it's like to frustrate grace. And I've seen, and because I've been in ministry for so long and been able to be with people and see them delivered of everything from smoking to sex addictions to everything under the sun, because I've seen people instantly set free. Instantly. I was instantly freed of, look, I drank over a case of beer a day. Do you even understand that? I drank over 24 bottles a day. And three or four huge cheeseburgers with french fries. And no, I didn't drink water. I drank coffee. Even when I know this, my wife hates it when I say this, but it's true. I ran, when I was training as a heavyweight fighter, now I did get off the booze. I did get off the booze. But I didn't eat very good. And I ran 4 miles a day, three or four days a week, 6 minute miles. Anybody run 6 minute miles? At 220 pounds. Anybody doing that lately? Plus all the other training I was involved in. And I was eating cheeseburgers for lunch. Dead food. I know what it's like to frustrate grace. But he's trying to tell us something here. Now, the verse 17 is where he says, apply your heart. When you apply your heart, when you set your will, that these words are not going to escape you. These words, you're gonna fellowship these. You're going to talk with your husband about it. You're going to talk with your wife about it. These words of life. Now, I want you to look at verse 21. That you might have an answer, that you might know the certainty of my words of truth, so that you might have an answer, and you might answer words of truth to them that send you. Look at John 8, 32. Look at John 8. John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, which is my truth, right? Then you are my disciples. You are under my discipline and authority. That's what that means. You could read it like this. If you continue and work the words of truth that I give you, then truly you are under my authority and covering. That's how you can read that. Verse 31, John 8, 31. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue and work the words of truth that I give to you, then truly you are under my authority. That's what that means. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the same thing in Proverbs 22, 21 says. You will know the certainty of the words of truth, and you will answer words of truth to them that send you. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's go to John 15. Because John 15, I kind of stopped there Sunday, but John 15, Jesus says, I'm going to start at verse 1, I am the true vine. Notice he's already having to tell, it's not enough to say, I am the vine. Because there are many vines. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch, what? In me. I'll tell you, every time that you see in and in me, word in you, you know, probably ought to underline it because it's so important that we get the concept, this food needs to be in us. Right now, the Lord's presenting words to you and a spirit to you that you may or may not eat. Right now, you're in a position of hearing. I was talking, Rach and Cece and I went on a walk today, and we went over the. I asked her if she remembered what the word to us was Sunday. So she basically got it, yes. She answered a few the way that you did, and then finally she said, working the word. And she says, but, and what was her question? She asked me a question. What was her question? How do I work the word? I said, great question. That's where we're going tonight. How do you work this word? So, right now you're sitting here and I'm, hopefully the Holy Ghost is feeding you, is giving you fuel. We're storing fuel. Where do we store it? In our spirit and our mind. Two different places. You store words of truth in your mind and in your spirit. Hopefully, you have something going on in your spirit that is connected with me. Hopefully, you're connecting with me. Hopefully, you're sitting there as if you were the only one I was talking to. That's how, by the way, that's how you get filled with fuel. When an airplane gets fueled in air, there's a probe that comes down from the fueler, from the tanker plane, and the fighter has to fly into the probe, and there's a receiving unit on the jet, on all these jets, that they can receive the probe, and once they receive the probe, then they can be fueled. Only one plane gets fueled with one probe. If you really want, you've heard me give testimony about sitting on the edge of my chair at a meeting with several hundred people because I knew this guy was going to open up the altar for altar call for a prayer. People want to come forward. And you heard my testimony, how I sat on the edge of my chair, pulled my chair out, sat there like I was ready to run a race. My whole crew looked at me and said, what's going on with you? You know, like, are we getting ready to split out of here or what? I said, no, he's going to open up the altar and I'm going to be the first one there. Why? Because I was connected to this guy. Every word he said, my spirit was being fed by him. And I wanted that probe. I wanted to be connected through the laying on of hands. That merely gets the fuel in you in a more perfect way. But you know what? The word that he was given and the message that he was given, I still could have lost it once I walked out of there. If I had the mentality that most people have, well, I sat in the meeting, I got laid hands on, I got prayed for, I got slain in the spirit, hallelujah, it's done. Go outside and look forward to the next meeting. Never thinking again about the meeting you just came from. Never working the word. Never getting into the scripture. Never going through the chain. Never praying to the Lord and to the Holy Ghost about what you heard. And never talking to anybody about what you're praying about and what you want and what you heard. And look what the word says. Do you see what I'm saying? That's working the word. Yes. Well, any of the sacraments. Yes. Okay, so you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Now, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 all basically says the same thing. Abide in me. This is profound. You know why it's profound? Because Jesus knew he was going. Jesus was going, his residence was going to be in heaven. You know what that would be like? On my deathbed, which we know, my wife has already told us it's not going to be until I'm probably 120. But on my deathbed, this is exactly what this is like. Jesus is, John 15, 14, 15, 16, 17, unbroken narrative, it's his last will and testament to his men. That's what it is. Because right after the Last Supper, he's gone, right? That's why they call it the Last Supper. They didn't call it the Next Supper. What's he telling them? He's saying, abide in me. I am the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. If a man doesn't abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch, withered. Men gather, throw him into the fire, they're burned. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Here's what he's saying. I'm on my deathbed. I've got 30 seconds to live. And I say this to you. Carson comes in and says, sorry to see you go, but no, you're going to heaven, be with the Lord. It's like me saying, Carson, I want you to come over every night and spend time with me, okay? Did you get it? That's what Jesus is saying to them. I want you to abide in me every day. Every day I want you to spend time with me. Oh, but by the way, I'm leaving. I'm dying. I'm going to heaven. But I want you to spend time with me every day. Abide means continuing. Abide means there's no... abide is not come over once a week. Abide isn't even spend 2 hours a day with me every day. Abide with me means I want you to live with me even though I'm leaving. Live with me. I don't think they really got it when he said it, but they got it later. Can we abide with Jesus every day? Yeah, through the Holy Ghost, can't we? And if we have the Holy Spirit in us, and His Word in us, and His truth living in us, what? We'll never hunger. We'll never thirst. We won't have to go out and try to find Jesus underneath the rock somewhere. Okay, go to... So then, if we're going to abide in Him, and if we're going to... Abiding and continuing, same thing, right? We're going to work the Word. Okay? Okay, turn to Ephesians 4, 22. I want to give you just... Now, the next principle I want to give you is putting on and putting off. You remember what I said, why we don't grow? Another reason why we don't grow? Because we're not, nothing is being what? Displaced, put off. Nothing is being displaced. And until something is being put off, that which He's trying to put on, we can't put on. There's not room. Can light and darkness dwell together? Can good and bad water come out of the same spigot? Can all the illustrations? What concord, what agreement has Christ with Belial? Light with darkness, wickedness from righteousness. See what I'm saying? You can't hold two opinions and serve only one. You can't serve two masters. Know ye not to whoever you submit yourself, servant to obey. His servant you'll be. We're not capable. He didn't create us with the ability to serve two masters. We don't have that ability. Nobody has that ability. Bill Gates, Einstein, you name it. Nobody on earth has the ability to serve two masters. Now I should be losing some of you by saying that. Well, but there's the old man and there's the new man. And sometimes I serve the old man, sometimes I'm serving both people. What about the guy that serves, goes to work and serves his wicked job and then goes home and reads his Bible? Isn't he serving two masters? No. You're not. You cannot serve two masters. You're serving one or the other at any given time. And if you can do that, okay, now, probably most of you are sitting here, if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you serve two masters? Probably few of you would say, well, I serve two masters. Or maybe some of you would say, well, I serve two masters because I can't help who I serve at work. My boss is wicked. The system that I work in is wicked, so I serve two masters. No, that's not true. How many masters did Daniel serve?
One.
Oh, he lived in church. He lived in a righteous nation. He served a righteous king. No. How about Joseph? See what I'm saying? They served only one master. And you could tell it when push comes to shove. Daniel prayed anyway. You see what I'm saying? Joseph told the king what he didn't want to hear. So, no, they served the Lord. And they were willing to serve the Lord unto their own peril. Therefore, God stood behind them. So, but if you say, well, I don't know that I serve two masters. I could ask it this way. How many of us are different at home than we are at work? How many of us are different here in the meeting than we are at work, or when we're by ourselves, or when we're arguing with somebody that's lesser than us. How many treat those lesser than you differently than you treat those who are over you? You see what I'm saying? How about thoughts? Well, I don't really treat my employees bad. I don't treat people under me bad. What about your thoughts toward them? That stupid idiot couldn't find his foot with 3 flashlights. What about our thoughts? Do our thoughts betray us? 2 masters. See, we're only able to serve 2 masters if we're not displacing one of them. We got to kick one out. We can do that. We have the ability to do that. Well, I get depressed. And I can't help it when I get depressed. Or I get angry. And you know, anger just comes on me. I can't help it. Or sometimes I just get emotional. And emotions, you know emotions, how emotions are. They just happen. And sometimes I just get hungry. And you know, when you get hungry, you have to eat. And sometimes I go into a store and I just have to buy something. It's not my fault. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. You know what we do? We think about putting off. Well, let's just look at it. It says, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Okay, that what this means is, verse 22, put off the former lifestyle. The former lifestyle of the old man. Put that off, which is corrupt. In case you don't know what he's talking about, he says, according to being deceitful. What's a deceitful lust? It's lusting and not letting anybody know about it. Okay? Eating chocolate when your husband goes to sleep. Or potato chips, or you know, whatever your thing is. Okay, be renewed in the fuel of your mind. Be renewed in what you feed your mind. Be renewed in what energizes you. And it says what? Verse 24. Put on the new man. Okay, so this is the principle. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 is the principle of putting on and putting off. You can put that down, principle. Now, let's go to the specifics, which we find in Colossians 3. Go to Colossians 3. One guy called this collisions because he was a fool. Actually, this book should be called collisions because it's going to collide head on with your carnality. Now look at this. Ephesians 4, 22, 24 is the principle of putting on, putting off. This is where chapter 3 in Colossians, we're going to find where it specifically tells us what we're putting off. What needs to be displaced. I'm going to tell you how you displace it. This is, actually, I've titled this tape before I started on it, which is very odd for me. But this is how to. This is the how-to tape. I don't have very many of those. And I shy away from them because, you know, how to have the gift of healing in 7 steps. How to have this in 9 steps. How to have this in 3, you know. So I steer away from that kind of thinking because Christianity is not really a how-to type religion. But there is a how-to in this area. How to receive grace. If I ask you, how do you receive grace? What would you say? So if you don't, raise your hand. Dan? Good, right there. Position your heart through your will, and grace will come. Okay, good. Great, somebody heard that. So chapter 3, here it says, if you're risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, because that's where he is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Set your emotions, your affections, your thoughts, your being on things above, not on things where you dwell. Now, Sunday we talked about living over the rainbow. How nice, isn't that sweet? Somewhere over the rainbow. See? But we got to live on the other side of the curse. That's what the rainbow represents. God won't curse the earth anymore with the flood. Okay? So it's just a kind of an analogy thing that we did. So it says set your affection on things above. Okay, look at verse 5. Kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Yes, exactly. This woman was a career nurse. Big money where she lived. She walked away from probably I would say where she was working, probably $50,000, $60,000 a year job in her career, 30, 40 years old, for probably minimum wage. Think about that. Kill your members. And somebody goes, okay. Well, which members? Well, I don't know. You know, just the old man. Kill the old man. Where does he live? Well, you know, it's your thoughts and your emotions. Well, what are they? Well, you know, different, just whatever's not Christ-like. Whatever's not, you know, all our religious idioms and mumbo-jumbo, insane Christian talk. So it helps us. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil desires, evil sexual desires, covetousness, and idolatry, which is idolatry. Start killing those to start with. For which things' sake, the wrath of God. Who's he talking to, by the way? Oh, well, God would never allow wrath to come upon Christians, Brother Sullivan. Who's he writing to? He's telling the church that you've got to put these spirits in you to death. You've got to cut this fuel off. You've got to stop connecting with the probe that's feeding you this fuel, these spirits. You've got to cut them off. Or else you're subject to the wrath of God. What's that? Who cares? It's one of those things you don't need to know what it is. You just don't need any of it. Coming on the children of disobedience, which you used to walk in when you lived in them. But now, okay, here we go. Verse 8. Put off all these two. First one. Anger. Wonder why that's number one. Look at the first one on kill. Mortify. Fornication. The next list, the first one is anger. Wrath. What? What's the difference between anger and wrath? Wrath, and then look at the next one, malice. You know why they're one, two, three?
Because anger
Yeah. And malice is the intent. Is in danger. Blasphemy. Oh, what's that? Filthy communication. Stop lying. Put off the old man. Okay, verse 10, we start putting on. Put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, and what do we put on? Well, look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Now, let me tell you something. Anger, wrath, and malice cannot coexist with mercy. What's number one? Mercy. Kindness. The what? What do we want to be in our mouth? The law of kindness. Humility of mind. Why is that? Because mind is where pride ferments. The mind is where pride begins and gets all ready to go. Meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Verse 14, putting on love, which is the bond of completion. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what that means? Stop frustrating peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what that means? Stop letting in all filthy words that are wisdomless. And do everything that you do in your own name. Right? Verse 17. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know why it says that? Because it's the only name under heaven by which men may be saved. And it's the only name in all of the cosmos by which every living, moral, agent, spirit will bow and yield to, is the name of Jesus. Yes, and what? And you'll release the grace. No Jesus, no grace. No Jesus-y, no Gracie. For the Koreans listening. Okay, go back to putting off. Let me explain something to us. Now somebody's got to be thinking, now how do I put these things off and when do I do it? So we go home, we got the list, right? And I'm going to go home, and every night, I'm going to work this word. I'm going to work this word every night before I go to bed, and I'm going to work this word in the morning when I get up. So I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, because everything I do in the name of Jesus, right? In Jesus' name, I put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of my mouth. I'm not going to lie. In Jesus' name. And then I'm going to go over and on verse 12 and I'm going to put on, and in Jesus' name I receive mercies, kindness, humility of mind. Yes, I feel that one. Meekness, long suffering. Forbear. I'm going to forbear. I'm going to forgive. Thank you, Jesus. Now that's one way to work the word. And if you go to Rhema or some of those word places, you know, that's what they'll have you do. And you'll feel great about it. Until someone pulls in front of you and you'll say, you SOB, you dirty rotten, I just curse you in the name of Jesus, get out of here. You see what I'm saying? What happened to the confessions every night and every morning? See, because it doesn't work that way. Guess when you get to operate in putting off? When it's right in your face. When anger is right there in your face and you want a piece of somebody, that's when you go, you know what? I put you off, you foul thing. Leave me and stay away from me in Jesus' name. I am, you know what? The spirit of the prophet is subject to what? My next door neighbor? No, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I can decide to speak or not speak. That's the prophet. You know, I don't know why the Lord did it that way. These people that say, well, I stood up and I spoke and I didn't even know I was speaking and I didn't know what I said and I sat down and somebody told me I prophesied. You've just heard a kook. Because it doesn't happen that way. Everything that God does to us, He does it. He has to bypass our will. There are no robots in the kingdom. He doesn't do things that way. Most of the people that have experienced trances and gone into that kind of thing, they're under a foul spirit. It's a wrong spirit. Look at every example that the scripture gives of people that are in trances. Who are they? Two come right off the top of my head. Peter and John. Paul. And they saw things. Peter was in a, and it uses the word trance. But he knew what he was doing, and he knew what he saw, and he knew what he said. And he not only did he know it, have instant recall, he went to Cornelius' house and gave him testimony of it. See what I'm saying? So when do we put off?
When it's the hardest.
When it's the hardest. See, that's where we're missing it. Do you know what we do? We eat the cheeseburger. And then we say, sorry, Lord. That's how we do it. You know, we spew all over somebody, we beat him to a pulp, and then we lay hands on him, pray for him, raise him up, kiss him, say, I really didn't mean it. And you talk about somebody confused. It's like when I was. Well, I won't even go there. What do you want to say? Yes. Yes. When was that? See, that's a big theological problem there. Because Romans 7 is before Romans 8. And if you look at it, we turn to it real quick. And he said, and he's talking about the old nature versus the new nature, right? So he says, I know in me that is in my old man dwelleth no good thing. My flesh, when he says my flesh, I know that in my flesh is no good thing. He's not talking about his body, his flesh. He's talking about in his psuche nature. If you look at the Greek, he's talking about his fallen nature, his carnal man. Do we understand that? So you can read it like this. I know in my carnal man there is no good thing. For to will is present in me, but how to perform that which I've willed, I don't find. This is perfect. Thank you, Dan. It was the Holy Ghost. Because what are we seeing here? He's seeing that without Christ, we make commitments and we make oaths, but what's absent?
Grace.
That's what he's saying. For to will is present, but there's no grace to perform it. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I don't do. But the evil that I would not do, I end up doing. Now, if I don't do that which I would, and he goes on, if I don't do what I would and I do what I wouldn't do, what do I find? You know, and he goes down and says, I'm a man most miserable, basically. So he finds a law that's working in him, the law of sin. The law of sin. How does the law of sin get broken? Through the Spirit of grace. And look what he says. Oh, wretched man. This is verse 24. This is what Dan was saying. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? How will I ever get to the place where that which I want to do, I do? I thank God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then he goes on in the whole of Romans 8 to tell you that if you're filled with the Spirit, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Because when you're spiritually minded, it releases grace. Then you find yourself able to do what you know is right. But most of us still would rather eat the cheeseburger.
Yes, you won't admit it.
That's right. That's the problem. And you know, it says, in that little book we read, a little book on, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I said, the one thing I don't do is lie to myself. I've lied to others, but I don't lie to myself.
That's what verse 24 is, it's confessing. Insincere.
Yes, it is.
That's what Isaiah 59 is all about. And I want to say something about what's in the word of God.
Well, yeah, but just hold on here. Okay, so I want to go. Okay, so we went through. Are we getting an understanding to what it means to work the word? The way you work the word is you hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And I went, talked to a couple of you. I told a couple of you what the word to you was. Do you remember?
Yes.
What was it? Who did I tell? Yes. Right. Bow your heart. And you know what you didn't do? How many of you went through the chain on humility? From Sunday to now. You didn't work the word. So you know what? The word, that word, humility, humble your heart. Bow your ear to hear my instruction. That word does not live in you. It's still up here. You can recall, yeah. Oh, I remember, yeah. That. And you feel so good because you remembered it. But you're still not, it isn't in you. You're not working it because you didn't go through the chain on it. You didn't pray about it and you didn't talk to anybody about it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how we work the word. You will be thrilled at what God will do for you if you start doing this. Instead of letting people talk to you about nothing when they come over to your house, when they come in the door, you might say, so, how's it going with the word in you? Well, that would kind of ruin the dinner, Brother Sullivan. Now, hold on, honey. Just hold on a second. Go to... Oh, no, we're not ready there yet. Look at, I want to go on down here. Look at verse 16. We're in Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now here he's going to tell you the same thing I just told you. Let the word, Colossians 3, 16. I got to do this in a hurry. I'm running out of tape. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now it's going to tell you how. How does the word dwell in you richly? teaching and admonishing one another. Did you hear that? Teaching and admonishing one another by what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That should remind you of Ephesians 5. Because how do you get filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. So how do you teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? You give each other the word that you're... It's 5:19. It's Ephesians 5:19. Is the scripture coincides with Colossians 3:16. How do you work the word with each other? You teach and admonish one another in the things that you're getting, in the things that you're hearing in the word, but you do it in a spirit of meekness, humility, and submission. So you don't load up, get all of your fuel, go over and burn somebody. That's not what it's saying. So do we think we got this? Do you think you're able? Because Rach, the question, do you think you're able to understand what it means to work the word? Well, I don't know that you eat it. You contain it. It's like you come in with your 5-gallon ration, 5-gallon cans to get your fuel. That's about what happens when you come to a meeting. You bring your container in and it gets filled with fuel. Whether you ever use that fuel or not is whether what you do with it after you leave the meeting. I think that's more how it is. How do you put away anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication? How do you put these things away? When they come up, you don't vent them. You don't speak them. You don't give it to somebody else and say, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, and when you can do that, then you are beginning to take authority over the spirits. If you can't control your mouth, you have no authority over spirits. Now we'll stop there and then we'll see if we need to continue.